Welcome to Sales Bites, our snack-sized version of the Redefining Sales podcast. My name's Abby White, and I'm your host for this podcast. Today, we have with us Julie Masters, who is an expert in decoding influence and has worked with some of the world's biggest thought leaders. So sit back and enjoy this bite-sized conversation with Julie Masters.
You know, if you sit down and once a month with your team, make a time and go, right, let's kick into the question bank here. Here's a question, right? Sam, go. What's your answer? And then I get to sit there as somebody new and go, oh my God, that was the best answer to that ever. I'm writing that down. And you're like, oh, do you know what? I'm really good up until this point, but whenever I answer it, I feel like I lose it here. And you had this great line. Write it down. It becomes this incredible tool for sharpening your sword as a team and making use of the collective brilliance that's within your walls. Not only that, but you can then take those questions and you can go out to what we call non-competing independents, which is just I need to find a better word for it, collaborators. It's basically people in the supply chain that are either before or after you. So they're not competing with you, but they provide a complimentary service to what you do and they have the eyes and ears of your target market. You go out to them and you say, look, I've got this list of questions that my target market are asking about this journey that we're trying to take them on. This particular question here, we're not best positioned to answer. Could you answer it? And then you collaborate. You might put a white paper together and bring in a whole bunch of different people. You might get them to write an article. You might, you know, interview them for a podcast. And then again, guess what? They've just created something amazing with you and they're going to share it. They're going to share it with other people who could be your potential target market. So many things flow on from having a clear understanding and a relentless radar for questions. The final thing I will say about questions, which is something I'm in the middle of researching right now, actually, is that the prominence of voice search or the exponential growth of voice search. I mean, it was predicted that by 2020, 50% of all search would be voice. I think at the moment it's around that figure. I'm trying to find figures for it at the moment as part of my research. But needless to say, it is the most booming area of search that there is right now. And what happens when we use our voice to search, when we use Siri, when we use Google Home, when we use Alexa, what happens is we search using questions. We search using questions. It completely changes our behavior when it comes to search. We rarely search using questions when we're just typing into Google, but when we use our voice, we ask questions. And what that means is that those companies, those advisors that understand the questions of their target market and the exact language that they are using and own the answers, they are the ones that are going to dominate search in the future. So again, we have all of this flow-on effect from just getting really serious about understanding the questions of your target market.
I love that. And we did it. I'll tell the story really quick.
Yeah,
we
tell the story. I don't think I've heard the story.
We did it as an experiment. So we heard Julie talk about this and we went, brilliant, right? As a team, we're all keeping the list of questions. And then for the month of February, we're going to do 28 questions in 28 days and start to answer them on our LinkedIn and post a video. Now, what was fascinating about it was, firstly, some of the questions, you're right, we were like, oh, didn't realize that was the top question. So there was definitely some eye openers. I think if you tracked it in terms of vanity metrics, you'd go, oh, that wasn't a success. We didn't get X amount of gazillion likes and suddenly became more popular than Paris Hilton. But my definition of success for it was the amount of people who I would jump on a call with and they'd go, hey, Abby, I'm loving your videos at the moment. They hadn't liked them. They hadn't shared them. They hadn't commented. To all intents and purposes, I had no idea they'd even seen it. But people were then commenting how they then found it valuable. So to me, that was the definition of success. I think the secondary thing for us for success is I'll be really honest and say what we struggle with is we are always serving our clients. So sometimes we, you know, come last. And what it forced us into was that amazing momentum on our own LinkedIn, on our own sales and marketing, that every day we had committed to show up and I will be there. And so it also forced and built a really, really, really good new habit by throwing it out there, staking the ground, we're going to do it. So I would absolutely say it was a game changer for us. But as long as you measure it by looking at a more holistic view rather than just a very narrow vanity metric view.
Yeah. And I think you're spot on there. There's so much in what you just said. You know, there's the magic of showing up. first and foremost, the magic of committing to showing up, and just how much, in terms of sharpening your own swords, how much better you would have got in the process of answering those questions, how much you would have learned about your own topic, about how to explain it, about what was resonating, what wasn't resonating. I'm assuming that maybe people are asking other questions as well. So you're building your question bank by putting all this, you know, putting it out there. But I wrote an article in my newsletter just this week. On Monday it went out, and part of the article I said, you know, not much happens in 30 days, usually. Not a lot changes. Occasionally, you know, every once in a while there might be a conversation that changes the game, there might be a door that opens, there might be a client that suddenly says yes, but usually not much happens in 30 days. But if you can take the bull by the horns and do something different and step up and show up when it's not perfect, when you might not have all the perfect answers yet, if you can do that, then I can guarantee you the chances of something happening in that 30 days, of a door opening, of a client saying yes, of a new conversation that changes everything, is a hell of a lot higher than it would have been if you had not done it. So I think you're right. The magic of showing up, the momentum, the conversations it sparks, your own understanding of your own target market is well worth the effort that it takes to do it.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing for me, and this is my other Julie-ism that is in our office that I wanted to draw back to, the girls I think all live in fear, because I come off the phone, I'm like, I've just spoken to Julie Masters, and everyone's like, oh God, what's Abby going to say now? What great idea has she just had? Everyone run and hide.
I used to have that in the office. I've been working in the world of ideas for 20 years for a reason, and that is because I love ideas, compelling ideas and compelling people who can bring them to life. And I used to, the girls used to have a saying in the office, it's called the crazy jar. And anytime I spent any time on a plane, because when I had time on a plane, I'd be thinking, I'd be joining the dots on different people that I'd heard and different ideas that I'd come across, and I'd come in, and every time I came on a plane, they'd be like, all right, just start talking. And then for the first hour, everything you say is just going in the crazy jar. We'll revisit it later. We don't need any more ideas.
I'm totally editing this part of the interview out so that my team don't hear it. We're not having a crazy jar.
I'm going to buy you a crazy jar.
Oh, no. God, whoever has that jar will be so rich. But what it does bring me to, so coming back on track, because I want to talk to you about this piece, is something I think has been a game changer for me that I've learned from you has been the concept of, you talked before several times about people's strategies is out interrupt. If I interrupt you enough, you'll pay attention. And your strategy is more about how can I out contribute, which is what you've been talking to. So can you, and that word, that out contribute, that has really stuck with me again on my Julie checklist, you know, is it a keep it a share it? Am I out contributing? So can you talk to us about that out contribute mentality?
Yeah, I mean, I studied marketing at university. So I spent four years studying and then worked in, you know, various different corporations and in London, putting it into practice. And I could pretty much just boil the whole thing down. It's depressing. I could just boil, like, you know, 8 to 10 years of my life down into three core strategies. And, you know, one strategy is out interrupt. I'll just interrupt you. Let's just up the interruption factor. Let's interrupt more people more frequently. You know, digital has given us this beautiful platform for interruptions. It's one of the things that it's brought that, you know, I think has this incredible potential, but the way that we're using it right now is at a very minimal degree and a non-helpful degree. And that is, now we just have more places to interrupt people. We're not thinking any harder about how we want to communicate. We're able to up our interruptions. And, you know, I tell this story about my mum, and, you know, my mum, she's no interest in tech, none at all. She has no, like, not interested in social media. She not interested in email, not interested in tech at all. And I called her, and this is a while ago now, I called her and I was like, you know, how you doing, mum? And she said, oh, you know, I've come across this amazing new thing. And I was like, what is it? And she's like, oh, it's your dad set it up. What I do is I put on EastEnders and then I pause it and I go and make a cup of tea And then 5 minutes later, I come back and I press play and then I just fast forward all the ads. Brilliant. And, you know, it just got me, it really hit me. I was like, oh my God, if my mum, my 70-year-old mum has figured out how to stop being interrupted. The other strategy that when I said three strategies is outspend. If I just spend more than anybody else, then I'll be guaranteed to get attention and engagement and impact. And again, if my mum's figured out how to stop you from interrupting her, how to stop people from outspending to get her attention. And the third one is volume. I'll just outshout everybody else. I'll just get louder. You know, if she's figured out how to avoid all these three strategies in the time it takes to make a cup of tea, then, you know, the future of these strategies appears to be limited unless we can find a smarter way of doing it. And, you know, there's all kinds of innovations in this space right now. And if you want to see the best of the best in this space right now, you know, B2C is where it's at. You know, there's amazing innovations there when it comes to lead nurturing, when it comes to, you know, focusing down on questions, epic storytelling. Also, you know, one of the best places that I'm looking right now is Kickstarter. You know, I'm fascinated with the idea of Kickstarter, the fact that, you know, in a 2-minute video, you can convince me to pledge money for an idea that I didn't know existed. You know, they're on the edges. That's where we're finding the most inspiration at the moment. But to come back to the point is that most of us, to some degree, fall back on these three strategies because it's all we've ever done, it's all we've ever known, it's all we've ever been taught. So outshout, outspend, or out-interrupt. And what we need to start looking at now, focusing on exactly the keep it or share it rule, is out-contributing. How do I out-contribute everybody else in my space? Because the people that you trust, people that you follow, people who you pay attention to, and all influence really is the ability to say, you know, look over there and have somebody be engaged enough to look. And hopefully trust you enough to take action. Those people are usually the ones that have out-contributed everybody else in that space for us. Mm. And that's when we start focusing on out-contributing as opposed to out-interrupting.
And I think I've personally found since we've used it, it's a great mindset shift to go, right, if one of our goals is to out-contribute everyone, how are we doing that? And it brings you completely centered more towards the customers.
Yeah, and there's also a danger to it. You know, when we talk about out-contributing, you know, do I just post a million times? Do I just send a million emails? And I think that that's a really important distinction to talk about, because what out-contributing, you're exactly right, it's our mindset. This is, again, not a volume. This is not based on volume. In some situations, volume is should be this. In other situations, it should be this. This is not about frequency. And again, you know, frequency takes you into an interruption mindset. This is a mindset of contribution. Mm. This is, you know, my job as a translator is to decode a journey, a very particular journey for the people that I'm trying to serve. And how can I contribute regularly, usefully, purposefully, and, you know, in an engaging way throughout that journey to help people get from A to Z. That's what having a contribution mindset is. Where might they trip? What information might they need? What questions might they have? Who else can I bring in that's on my panel that's going to help them navigate this road? You know, that's the mindset of contribution. Mm. It's a very different mindset to a mindset of interruption, which is what we fall back on often when we don't know what else to do. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that flip in our brain is a really important one to have. Otherwise we do fall into just interrupting as frequently as we can.
No, I absolutely love it. And I love that you mentioned there with purpose, you know, one of your courses I did at the end, I said, you know, when I was debriefing with the team, so much of it was around like really getting behind that purpose, that intent. It was so intentional. So I want to ask
one of the most powerful questions. What is your intention? What's the one thing you want to, just to speak to intention for a second, what's the one thing you want them to do, feel, believe differently as a result of this piece of communication? That's powerful intent, and that has way more correlation with action than something that has no intention. We call it like spray and pray. Spray and pray, baby. Spray as many platforms as you personally can. Get up on the stage, just dump as much information as you can on human beings and then leg it. You know, this is it's very different. It's purposeful, it's contribution, it's intention.
Before you leave us, we have Julie with us as one of our RevUp experts on the 13th of December. RevUp is our members-only virtual masterclasses where we bring you some of the world's best thought leaders, and we have a highly practical, interactive virtual masterclass where you can bring together your revenue-generating team, sales, marketing, you name it, into our community. So if you're interested, it's on the 13th of December, and you can click the link in our show notes to find out all the details and how you can join us and jump on board as a RevUp member.